This is a Montbog Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Drawing near to God. David said just then, come and return to the Lord. I've really been challenged lately to draw near. To draw near to him. And we're going to have a bit of a look through. I'll show you a bit of a roadmap of where we're going today, where we hopefully will get to. Hopefully you can read that. We're going to talk about what does drawing near mean? What does it mean to draw near? Why does God want us to draw near to him? What hinders us from drawing near? What are some examples in the Word of those who've drawn near to God, and what can we learn from them? And how can we draw near to him? So before we head into what drawing near means, we're going to read some scripture. But I'm actually going to ask some of you to read out for me. So I need 7 people. So just pop your hand up and I'll give you a scripture to look up and I'll come to you. Bev, you're in. James 4:8. Thank you. Who else can help me out? Thanks, Sandy. Can you go to Hebrews 10:19-22? Thanks, Ben. Can you go to 2 Chronicles 15:2? I'm going to write this down because every time I do this. So Bev has the first one. Sandy, Ben, Mum, would you like one? Matthew 15:8. Three more. Thanks, Rhonda. Can you go to Luke 18:16? Thank you, Josh. Can you please go to John 6:37? John 6:37 and 44. 37 and 44. And one more. Going. Lynn. Matthew 11:28. As we hear our brothers and sisters read God's word, just think about how it's going to apply to you to draw near to him.
Draw near to God and he will draw near to you.
Yeah, that's it. If I was smart, I would have done like put people in order so I'd have to run around. Anyway. Okay, Sandy, 19 to 20.
Okay. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a heart full of assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil washed and pure water.
So Bev read out about drawing near to God and he will draw near to us. That's a pretty amazing promise. Like that's an amazing promise. You draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Do you understand what that means? Wow, if we draw near to him, he promises to draw near to us. Sandy talks about we can draw near, but why? How is it possible? It's because of what Christ has done as a great high priest, paving a way forward with his blood and his work on the cross. That's how we have boldness to approach. All right, Ben.
Asa as well? Yep. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Okay, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, 'Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you.'"
So here a prophecy comes to Asa saying God is with you when you are with him. Another translation say, God will be with you while you're with him. Wow. Mum.
These people draw near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
This is Jesus speaking. So there's actually a way that we think we may be drawing close to God, but maybe it's just with our mouth and our lips. Maybe our hearts are far from him. under.
But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these."
Wow, so here we see, back in that day, there were certain people, in this case little kids, that the disciples thought unworthy to come to draw near to God. But I love how Jesus broke down those barriers for children, for women. It was groundbreaking what he brought with the start of Christianity for those who were marginalised or underprivileged. He opened up the doors for everyone to draw near. And kids, you've got to know that Jesus delights in you drawing near to him. Josh. This way. So John 6:37 first of all.
"All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day."
So here we say that, yes, it's our responsibility to draw near to God. We can see here that if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. Yet, what did Josh just say Jesus said? He said that no one can come unless the Father calls him. And so if you're here today, if you believe in the Lord and you rocked up today and you have a faith in him, God is calling you to draw near to him. And he'll give you the ability to do that. Right. Jesus speaking again. Thanks, Lynn.
"Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yeah, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Does anyone want to find rest for their souls? Yeah. Well, we do that by coming to him, by drawing near. So I think we have a bit of an idea of what drawing near means, don't we? Drawing near to someone, you're getting closer to them. You are taking some steps or some action to close that gap. Sorry, Stephen, I'm playing havoc with the... Yeah, thanks. To close that gap between you and that object, okay? And so drawing near, you know what it's like when you... When you are near someone and you're near someone you love, you know what that's like, don't you? You also know what it's like when there's a distance. You know what that gap feels like. And that can really highlight, sometimes we think about what drawing near isn't. When there's a distance between you and someone, you know what you miss. You miss a closeness. You miss intimacy. You miss touch. You miss being able to hear them really clearly. And I think that's what God wants for us. But why? Why does God want us to draw near to him? Well, he loves us. He wants us to be close. Sometimes my own kids, if I'm feeling a bit grumpy, they know that, I don't think Dad's sort of in the mood for us to be around. I hope that's not all the time, girls, but I love for you to be near me because you're my children and I love you. I love to be with you. And for those of you that have children, you just want to be with them. You just want to have them near to you. God loves us, and therefore he wants us to come near to him. Think about the prodigal son, this father waiting and watching for that son to draw near, and then the father drew near to the son and ran to him. He desires that closeness. Back in that day, Jewish men didn't run. They did not run. And so when the people heard that story, they would have just thought, whoa, 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 he ran? He didn't just run for nothing. You must run because either you're running from something chasing you or because something is drawing you towards something so strong within you. That means that you're going to break all customs. That's just showing the heart of God for us. God also wants us to draw near to him because if we aren't drawing near to him, that means we're actually drawing near to something else. God wants us to draw near to him, because if we're not, the way that God's designed our heart and our soul to work, we are made and created to focus and worship and have our heart set and given to something. And God knows if it's not him, then it's something else. And we all know what it is when something lures us away, and we know that distance from God when we are giving our heart to something else. God also wants us to draw near to him. We sung it today in My Lighthouse. He gives us peace in our troubled sea. And to say that the Christian life is just a nice walk through a meadow of daisies, we know it's not. We know for each one of us that there are hard things in life. There are dark times in life. There are dry deserts in our life. And when we're in those times, think about Psalm 23, where he leads us through that valley of the shadow of death. He has peace for us and stability and security, not in events, not in circumstances, not in everything going well, not in us having it all together, but it's in the midst of the darkness, the loneliness, even our own mistakes, that he's there and he wants us to draw near to him in those times. He also wants us to draw near because, David said, I just took a note while David was prophesying before, it's to reflect him. To reflect him. We're going to reflect him best when we're closest to him. That's all I have to say about that. Think about Paul encouraging, I don't know if it's a Corinthians, I can't remember which book it's in, about the milk of the word. You know, we know that the Bible, the word of God, is milk. Now, what's milk normally for? It's for babies. For a baby to get milk, the baby cannot be far from the mum. Yeah? The baby cannot be nourished and get everything it needs, everything it needs for its growth from its mum if there's a distance between baby and mum. And God made it that way on purpose. As close as that baby can get, that's when it's most nourished. And sometimes we don't like to think ourselves as babies, not a baby. Should I tell a story, Mel? Melody likes this story. When we went to Mauritius with church years ago, 1999, I think it was, and I filled out my customs slip incorrectly, and I said that my birth date was the date it was that day. Anyway, so my very first contact with a Mauritian was a big fridge of a man. He was massive, sitting behind the customs thing. I was, hand over my forms, he's looking at it. Are you a baby? I don't know why he asked that question. I had no idea. No? I don't know. So none of us like to be thought of as babies, especially not from some big, scary man. But I want to be nourished by the Lord. I want to be close to him so I can get everything I need. And by me being at a distance from him, having my heart somewhere else, being lured away by whatever, I'm not going to be nourished. I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to move forward in the Lord. We also need to be close to the Lord so we can hear his voice. I need someone to help me out here. Someone help me. Maybe a younger person. Or maybe an older person would do well as well. Come on. All right, Joseph, perfect. All right, Joseph, come here. I've got something to say to you. I have something so special to say to you, it's just going to bless you.
Okay.
See ya. He's walking. If you can't see him, he's still walking. Keep going, Joseph. Joseph is distancing himself from me. Keep going. No, keep going. All the way. Yep, keep going. Keep going. A little bit more. All right. Can you hear me, Joseph? Joseph, you are amazing. You are such a special kid. And I have such great things to tell you. I love you. I've just got things in store for you. You are the sheep of my. I will look after you. I'll protect you. All right, Joseph. Come closer. Quick, quick. There we go. He was pretty far away, wasn't he? Did you hear what I told you?
No.
What?
I couldn't hear you.
Why?
Because I was trying to listen, but I was too far away.
He's too far away. If only you were closer to me. I know I told you to go that far away, but wow. So if you were closer to me.
I would have heard.
Yeah, you would have heard. So you would have heard my voice and you would have heard the things that I was telling you. And I was pretending to be God and I was saying how much I love you, how much of, what a plan I've got for your life, and that you're an amazing person. Is that good to hear?
Yeah.
And God thinks that about you. But we've got to be close to God to hear it, don't we? Thanks, Joseph. Let's thank Joseph. Ah. All right, what hinders us from drawing near? We can see that distance does. But let's put a few things up here. Distractions. Many, many things cry out to us for our attention, don't they? And it's getting worse, I reckon. It's getting hard. There's more and more busyness. There's more and more things that are saying, hey, pay attention to me, over here, over here, over here. And we can just let our heart just get totally distracted by everything around us. Things are screaming out for our attention. And it's not just one thing. There's just so many things, and good things and bad things, that we can just give our attention to. Remember, we had the first couple of years of our married life with no TV in Craig and Jill's little bungalow. Probably because we couldn't get reception. I don't know. Yeah, didn't have an aerial. But it was great. Great way to spend the first few couple of years of marriage. But when we first got a TV, it was the ads. I'm just suddenly like, colourful, flashy, loud, bright, changing. Whoa, whoa. And I just hadn't seen an ad for so long. And everything they put into an ad to make it work worked on me. I've got to buy that now. Oh, man. But there's so much bright, colourful, flashy things sparkling and drawing our attention. And we have to be careful of that. It's our responsibility. What else can hinder us from drawing near? Distractions. Sometimes defeat. Our sin. When we slip up. And our sin can separate us from the Lord. And I don't know about you, but when we fall short, whoom, we just feel this chasm. Whoom. Now in that, God is drawing us. Come, come, come. Don't run away from me at this time. Run to me. Draw closer. Just like that prodigal son. What distance him. God is just waiting for us to come back. We've got to know that often feelings of shame are not from the Lord. He wants us to run into his arms. If you've ever had a kid and that kid's completely stuffed up, you would love for them to come and run and to be held by you at that time. So distractions, defeat. Just thinking of many D words as we could here. What else we got? Deception. Thinking, I'm okay without him. I'm going all right. I don't think at this time of my life that I need him. Don't think I need to be close to him. And though we don't verbally or even mentally think those exact words, that actually can be what our spirit and our soul is saying. And it's a deception. It's pride, the original sin. And it's, yeah, one of the most lethal things that will keep us from drawing near to him. The scripture that Mum read out before, we can be deceived by thinking that we are coming near to God because I'm praying or I'm talking to him or I'm coming to church or you know, but we're drawing near to with our mouths, but our hearts are far from him. And I've felt that, and you may have as well. When I'm singing to God in church, or I'm my quiet time praying to him, but I know that my heart is so far from him, and it's somewhere else, it's attached to something else. And I'm deceived in that, thinking that, no, I think I'm going okay because I prayed. I went to church. I sang during the worship songs. My heart was far from him. Remember Keith Green once said the words, going to church doesn't make you a Christian, just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. But that confused me because I'm like, no, but when I go to McDonald's, they do make me a hamburger. So I didn't really understand it till later on when I thought, that's what he meant. Okay. Sorry about that little detour. Sometimes Wait, this is really bad. I can't read my scroll. Maybe I'll just read it and we'll see what it says. Sometimes we're in a dry place and we believe that we're not close to God because we can't feel him. And it's actually a deception. When you're in the valley of the shadow of death, or when you're in a place, when you're in a boat and it's a storm, and when things aren't going well for you, we can believe the lie that God's not with us in that boat, that God isn't guiding us through that valley. He's with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Don't be deceived. Just because you can't feel a closeness to God, that it's not actually the case. Also, we can be deceived and believe a lie. Maybe that God's not who he says he actually is, and that he's not going to do what he says he will do. And we doubt. Doubt, that would have been a good one with D. Let's put that up there anyway. And lastly, decoys. Who knows what a decoy is? Who can tell me? Something pretending to be something else. David, what were you going to say? Yeah, that's right. What were you going to say, Mum? Yeah, something that looks like the real thing, but it's a fake. And, yeah, it lures you in the wrong direction. And so I believe that, you know, Satan loves it when we get drawn towards something that we believe is going to fulfill us, that it promises, it just promises so much good to us or fulfillment, that if we go on and give our heart to that, then we're going to have our desires met. It's a decoy. It's a trap. It's a trap. And we need to be careful that just because something glitters doesn't mean it's gold. In Psalm 90 something, it says, all of the gods of the people are idols. And we can have idols in our life. I remember hearing A.W. Tote. I didn't hear him say it, but I read it. He said that sometimes an idol in our life can be a misperception of what God is. Like, we think God's a certain way, but if it's not actually who God is, isn't that a false God? If I believe that God is going to, you know, just bless me with money and make everything easy for me, that's a false God, and that can be an idol. It's a decoy. That's not the real God. What does the Bible say who God is? Right, we're doing all right for time. Examples of those who drew near. Moses. Moses was called a friend of God. That's a pretty good thing to be called. Oh, I'm God's friend. I'm his friend. Like, he could have just walked around to all of the Israelites. Oh, so I was talking to my friend. God is my friend. Moses had the privilege of being called a friend of God. Or was Abraham the friend of God? Abraham was, wasn't he? Because he believed. He believed. Let's go with that, and we'll go with Moses next. Why was Abraham? Was it Abraham? Help me out, Bev. Yeah, because he believed and God accounted it for righteousness. Yeah, it was faith in God. Yeah, we can be close to God, be called a friend of him by believing in him, having faith in him. Jesus says, you are my friend if you do what I command you. A friend is someone that's near and close. We can obey God. By obeying God, we can draw near to him. Let's skip to Moses now. Moses, he met in a tent with God. He went up on a mountain and came down. He was close to God. And when he came down, his face was shining. People could see and were affected by the closeness that Moses had with God. That should be our goal. We should have a goal that when people look at us or spend time with us, they don't come away thinking, wow, Adam's great. They should come away thinking, God is so good. We need to reflect him. David, think about what David did when he was just like this teenager. He killed this massive giant that everyone was absolutely terrified of. And he knew by spending time and drawing near to God, as he was a shepherd boy and just singing to the Lord, getting close to him, just knowing who God was, he was able to just have an attitude within him to face any obstacle. And that's what God wants for us. Jesus, well, Jesus is God, but he still needed to draw near his Father. And so often in Scripture we see that Jesus withdrew to a solitary place just to be with his Father. Time and time again. And I reckon it was a whole lot more than what we read about. I think it was just this regular thing, just drawing aside, drawing near. If Jesus needed to draw near to the Father, if he needed to, wow, how much more do we? So how can we draw near to God? Well, we heard before Sandy reading, it's only because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. We've got to remember that. It's the only way we can. The only path to God the Father is through Jesus. It says in Scripture to come into his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and into his courts with praise. When we thank God, when we draw near to him and enter the gates, his gates, we do it through thanksgiving. When we're thankful, our eyes are off ourselves and our eyes are on God. How do we deal with all these distractions? Well, we can be so busy that we just miss opportunities to draw near to him. And we can do that through silence and solitude. Sometimes we think we've got to be busy. We've got to be, I don't know, in a church, or we've got to be talking, but we don't. If you sit on your own and don't say anything, you've cut out external distractions. There are no external distractions for you to be worried about. But you'll find something, that there are a massive amount of internal distractions. As you just sit there on your own, man, your brain is just going to think about this, think about that. And we need to be careful not to try and suppress them and push them down. Just acknowledge they're there. It's okay. And then you can deal with them and pass them on to God. And then you'll find, and it might take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe it'll take more, for those internal distractions, for you to just deal with them all. And that's when we can actually be in a really uncomfortable place, because what are we left with? Just us and God. And we know who we are. We know the brokenness. We know the wickedness. We know who we are. And often we don't like solitude and silence because we've got to be faced with that. The beauty of it is when it's just us and God, we sense that God loves us. And in that brokenness and in everything in ourselves that we just wish wasn't there and we know we struggle with, God's like, I'm here and I love you. And we need, and so often we don't get to that place. We're quite happy to have external and internal distractions because often we don't like to be faced with just being with ourselves, knowing who we are. But unless we do, we'll never know what God is going to say to us in that state. So let's draw near. Let's come before him and just cut everything out and listen to him. We can focus on the attributes of God. I find this really helpful, just to think God is eternal. Wow, God, you have no beginning. That blows my mind. You have no end. Oh, no end. Wow, that's amazing. God, there's no one like you. God, you're holy. You are love. And we can focus on his attributes and it can draw us near to him. So just going to recap and just read two of the scriptures that were read out. First one was our very first scripture that Bev read. And it's James 4:8. It's pretty short. I can actually say it without reading it, but here we go. James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And the last scripture that we read, which Lynn read out, is Matthew 11:28. Come to me. Just think about this for a minute. Jesus is talking to you right now. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Dear God, we just thank you that you desire fellowship with us. You desire for us, your children, to draw near to you. Challenge us, Lord. Help us, God, to take those steps away from the other things that have led us away from you. To take those steps in our heart towards you, Lord, to draw near, to be able to be close, experience your intimacy, to hear your voice, to be nourished by your word. God, we desire it, Lord, more than anything, to be close to our Maker, to be close to our Father, to be close to our Saviour. We long for it. Lord, I pray that you would reveal hindrances and blockages in our hearts. And Lord, may we draw near to you. We thank you that you have made a way. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.